a lot of people are quitting their 40-hour-a-week job to go work 80 hours as an entrepreneur, you know, or as a business owner. And I hate that, because then they think like, oh, you know, I'm quitting my 40-hour-a-week job so that I never have to work more than 40 hours again. I can work for myself. And it's like, that's not the case at all. And then they find themselves miserable in 2 or 3 years.
For anyone out there right now, screw therapy. You don't even get any content from therapy is the worst part. Like,
you're listening to the Next Generation Podcast, weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
All right. We are live here with John Rivera. John, what's going on, brother?
Not that much, man. Well, actually a lot.
I was going to say,
sounds like a lot.
I had to cut you off mid-sentence and be like, let's go and start recording this, because you're sharing all the secret sauce before the air. And I feel like this is why people tune in, to try to get some of this stuff. So for anyone listening, if you're new to the podcast, John was on before. He was episode number 42. So we're past 100 episodes at this point, which is awesome. Wow. But this is a long time since the last time you came on air. And last time you were here, you're telling us all about the last business that you built and sold in only a couple of years. And since then, you have been up to a lot. Like, I literally, like, two things to actually maybe start this podcast that would be interesting for anyone who listened to episode number 100, which should be coming out this week as we're recording this right now. Gio and I had a whole series of like, who do we think of past guests would like is most likely to be a billionaire, who's most likely to go bankrupt. And like, one of the questions that I put down was like, out of everyone we've brought on, who would you feel most confident giving $100,000 to? And like, you feel so confident that you're getting $200,000 back, like guaranteed. I was like, John Rivera, like 100% John Rivera. Like, I think if I gave you $100,000, you would easily double my money in under a year. I feel very, very confident in that. But to kind of set it up and then tee it up here for the audience of anyone who's listening that like maybe doesn't know who you are and some of the stuff that you're working on now, do you want to maybe give like a condensed version of the text that you sent me the other day of like, yeah, what it is that you're working on right now? And then we're going to spend probably 10 minutes kind of diving into each.
Yeah, definitely. So my main business and one of my main focuses is going to be my insulation company, Superior Attic, out of DFW. That company I started about a year and 2 months ago with a partner. And you know, the first 365 days, so August to August, we did $1.7 million. And then 2022, the original budget was $1.1 million, and after Q1 we just completely blew it out of the water. So we had to up that budget. Now we're on so the budget now is $2.3 million, and we're on budget for like 2.7 or 8. So we're really, really killing that one in 2023. We're about to have a sit down meeting for that one. We're planning for that, and I think we're planning for like 3.5.
And you were saying even before we started hitting recording that it's really not taking up that much of your time either.
Not anymore. So I would say up until about a month ago, it was probably taking up like 30 hours a week. And now I finally have been able to like step back out of the sales role. I haven't been in the production role at all, because I, you know, have an awesome partner in this company that's really just taken on like all of production, and he's killing it. But on the sales side of it, it's really hard to step out whenever, you know, you're closing at like 60-70% because you're the owner, right? And you can,
right,
you can, you know, talk it all up and people just trust you or whatever, right? And then try to replace yourself with like two sales guys that are closing at like 30 or 40%, right? So that's been like a huge, you know, a huge curve that I've had to let go of, is like, all right, I just know I'm going to lose 40%. Like, it just is what it is, but I need to get some sales guys in there. So, basically I have two sales guys out there rocking and rolling right now. Both closing at about 40% right now.
Was it mostly training then? What you're spending the time on before is trying to training the sales team and then putting them in a position where they were comfortable? What did that look like?
Yeah. So that's a really hard one. I think part of it was actually my hiring process, and like the way my company was set up is like a lot of people just try like going and hiring this go-getter, you know, closer mentality type sales guy. This guy that just doesn't take no for an answer. And you can get a lot of those, but the problem is that you have to earn those sales guys. You can't just go get them. You know, you have to have an environment for those guys that that they can go out and easily make $130,000 a year, $150,000 a year. You have to have all the tools for them. You have to have the benefits. You have to have all this stuff that's really difficult for a new company to have, you know? So, so you have to deserve a good salesperson. And that's something that I think that, I struggled with for a long time, is figuring out, how do I make this company a place that deserves a really talented sales guy? Once I was able to figure that out, I was able to kind of come up with the training process on, now how do I turn them into, a monster, right? How do I turn them into somebody who's closing, $6,000 average ticket size with 15 leads a week, working 30 hours a week, and then going out and, hunting for themselves. And that I'm still working on.
What are the one or two things that let you make an environment at your companies to attract super good talent?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think number one is the ability to, make $130,000, $150,000 a year without working 50 hours a week. We're getting into a time we're just getting into a time in the world where people don't want to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week anymore for somebody else and only make 150 grand, right? So we've figured out how to, be profitable with somebody working 30 hours a week, running 15 leads a week, which is 3 leads a day. And if they can close it at 35% rate, which is a decent salesperson, not even a good salesperson, it's just decent, with an average ticket size of $4,000 or $5,000, they can make, $100,000 to $110,000 a year. And then if they put in a little bit more effort, maybe the full 40 hours, and they take on one or two more leads and we give it to them because they're a good sales guy, they can, get up to 110, 115, 120, all of that good stuff. So that's the first thing. But I would say the second thing is having a good culture. Lots of sales guys, they go to the car dealership and get yelled at all day, and get treated like crap. And then they work 9 to 9, and I did that for a little bit and it sucked. I hated it.
Are you guys all local?
Sorry, say again.
Is everyone local right now, or is it remote, or how does that work in terms of building a culture?
So it's all local. Yeah, it's all local, because you have to go out and actually visit these homes and figure out what's going on with their house and communicate with the client and basically be able to put your eyes on the project.
So yeah, it makes sense. So basically, it sounds obvious, but it's way tougher when you're actually in the business role. It's make sure that they have the ability to make a ton of money and treat them well. Those are kind of the two big things, right? Okay, before we even get down this whole rabbit hole and talk about everything else that is going on with this specific business, rattle off a few of the other things that you're doing too right now, because for the people listening to this right now, the way we got introduced was through Stephen Ullman. Gio and I met up with you in a bar and grill somewhere, and it was quite the conversation in the first 10 minutes was quite literally, so my last business. And I was like, oh, cool, man. What are you doing with the money? Are you taking off, doing a little trip or anything like that? You're like, oh no, I started a second business. And in the least flexing way possible, because I really think you're a very, very humble guy. You were here's the 3 checks for the first 3 clients I have. Here's the spreadsheet of the first 12 appointments we had. I was like, whoa, you've been at this for a couple months. You're like, oh no, we started 2 weeks ago. And you were just on it so quick after your last exit. And I don't know why in my head, I should have thought even more of this, that you wouldn't take the pedal off the gas. But now that it's been 8 months since we chatted last, or however long it's been, you've got 4 or 5 things that you're doing that are all making you a ton of money.
Yeah. So my other one actually, so I guess my other hustle or business is Advising 360, and I'll kind of talk about how that came about. So I went on this podcast, and all of a sudden my inbox on Twitter just kept blowing up and blowing up and blowing up. People that, just saying, hey, I loved your podcast. Hey, do you have time to talk? Hey, I have some advice next time. Or hey, I have a business that I want to start with you. Probably for about a month, I took a call, about an hour long call every single day. And this was more just because I didn't know what to expect from these, I was really nervous on my last podcast, and I was, I was looking for all the feedback that I could get. That said, out of that podcast, I started, I started advising for one slate roofing company out of, Virginia, which has gone really, really good. And then I started another insulation company out of New Jersey. So, and the insulation company is about 3 months old now, and they're taking off pretty quick. I think last week he made 2 or 3 sales. So, I flew out there and, you know, kind of showed him the ropes for a weekend, and now we just do basically this, a Zoom every, you know, week, or, you know, a phone call every week, and just kind of go over what's the next step. So a
little bottle of champagne and dirty jerseys to celebrate the sales.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I can say I'm not impressed with Jersey.
Oh, come on, dude. No, you're seeing all the bad parts of it. I mean, I grew up in South Jersey, so like if you go down there, there's like some green stuff. It's cool.
Yeah. It was cool, or it was interesting driving into New York. It's a little off topic, but I set my GPS up because my brother lives in New York. So I went to go meet him. So I set my GPS up and we're an hour and a half away. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm 45 minutes into my drive and I'm still an hour and a half away. The GPS is saying, I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So that was a miserable drive, but
anywhere near Manhattan is not fun. When you kind of develop some of these relationships, what does that look like from like your expertise side? Are you coming in and really helping more on the marketing and lead funnel and that aspect and the sales, or is it across the board operations through hiring through everything else?
So it's across the board. So one of these companies was obviously already running, and that's the one I'm advising for. And that one more looked like, okay, hey, like, you know, I'm going to take 2 weeks and just evaluate, like, what is your company already doing? What's the processes that you've already set at place, if any, right? And most of the time it's that they don't have any processes, right? That's one of the biggest things. So the first thing is like starting off with the business model and the process and creating a master business plan, because most people don't have that either. You know, figuring out what all their stats are already on the sales side, and then making them track it for like the first 2 or 3 weeks and you know, whatever else that they can track from the past. And then once I get all of those numbers, it kind of helps me, you know, say, okay, hey, look, I know why your sales guys are doing bad now. You know, let's focus on this and this. Or it allows me to say, like, hey, look, I know why your production team can't keep up. They don't have any, you know, SOPs, they don't have any, you know, goals, they don't have anything, right? So a lot of people are just kind of like going willy-nilly on it, and they're just like, hey, I'm going to sell as much as I can and I'm going to produce as much as I can. But there's, you know, when you can add numbers to it and statistics and proven data, it makes it a lot more easier to manage. And then I can go in there and I can also help coach their sales team, or like we actually have a coach for my company, and I'll recommend that same coach, it's, you know, it helps out a lot.
That's so smart, because like you're literally having these conversations all day long, right? So like at this point you've got Superior Attic, you've got Advising 360. The next one that you texted me is hands down my favorite, only because you did the exact opposite of what everyone would normally do, and it's working out so much better. Do you want to quickly talk about the next one?
Yeah, the lead gen company.
So okay, the best part about this is the fact that you're calling it the lead gen company, because you have 5 clients and you don't have a name for it yet. Yeah. That is the funniest. Like everyone that I know in this entire like start a business online world is like, I'm going to go buy 65 domains and I'm going to sit there for like 3 years and maybe I'll do something, but realistically I'm going to hold them for 6 years and then I'm going to let them not auto renew anymore. You have people paying you money before you even have a name, which I love so much.
Absolutely. So this one's pretty unique, because it was just like why, like first off, it didn't cost me anything at all really to get started, because what I did was I took my Facebook campaign that one of my partners was running, and I don't remember if he came to me or I came to him or like how the conversation started, but we knew that we wanted to work together on something, and he said, hey, your Facebook campaign is popping off. It's doing great. We have a great return on it. Why not just sell insulation leads to other insulation companies across America? And I was like, yeah, that seems pretty easy. So literally all we did was so I think the first client that we got was through like an emailing campaign where we were just like spamming the heck out of all of these insulation companies, and just, you know, basically we were throwing out like real statistics. We took all the data from Superior Attic's Facebook campaign and we just basically copy and pasted it onto an email and said, hey, do you want leads and do you want to make money on these leads? you know? So all of a sudden we have our first client, and like within like the first week or two, maybe. And he's paying us $1,000 a month. And all I did was copy and paste my campaign and my pictures for him to do on Facebook.
What does that actually look like from a structure side in terms of, do they get unlimited leads for $1,000 a month? Is it per lead? And then are you just sending them, are you qualifying it at all? Or are you just sending, hey, someone filled out the Facebook thing, here's our contact info?
Yeah, so we do have to qualify it, because the thing is it's kind of like Home Advisor and like these lead generation companies. Lots of home service companies try to get on them, and then they think like, oh, I'm going to call these guys once, they're going to answer, and if they don't answer, then I'm going to go request a refund from Home Advisor. And Home Advisor's like, whoa, no, you need to call them a minimum of 3 times. You need to do this, you need to do that. And, you know, you can only get a refund for X, Y, and Z. Right. I'm very conservative. So if we get a lead in, my company is like, hey, we're going to call you a minimum of 3 times a day. We're going to call, text, email, and we're going to do this for 7 days, which is like 82 or like 60 some odd, you know, touches to this client. We're annoying the hell out of these clients until they answer the phone and get on the schedule with us, basically. So we do have to qualify a lot of these other companies, because a lot of them are just one man companies that don't have the discipline to call 3 times a day and, you know, make the actual effort to do it. So we've told some installation companies like, hey, this isn't going to work for you because you're just too lazy. Right. But our biggest clients have been the ones that like actually have, you know, a dedicated office manager that can, you know, take the time out of their day to call, text, email, you know, message them, do whatever it is off of these Facebook leads. So
is there a world where you would just book the appointment for them and then just send it over to like, hey, you guys are going to this house on this day? Or is it kind of tough to split the sales like that?
So we don't want to do that because we're kind of lazy, right? So the idea is like, we just, you know, we copy and paste this mature campaign so that then you can execute it, right? But if we're booking them, all of a sudden that lead goes from $17 a lead to like $70 a lead. You know, I'm going to start charging you if I'm booking these leads for you, right? Because now this is like a for sure thing. And now all you have to do is go out and close it. And, you know, that's basically what Home Advisor does, is they generate the lead. And then maybe instead of like booking it, they'll like call and they'll just say, you know, hey, you know, does this time and day work for you? And then they'll send the lead out from there. And all you have to do is confirm it. So that's kind of what Home Advisor does. And they charge $75 a lead.
And out of curiosity, how are these people even finding you? Or is it just like all word of mouth stuff?
So we're going after them. So we ditched the email campaign because it's not very good. And now we've started doing our own Facebook campaign. And that's what's really paid off. I think we've gotten like three clients through that alone. And that's what's really worked for us. Yeah. And then we've had like at least 20 or 30 people inquire.
Okay. And I know I'm jumping all around here, but it's only because you have so much stuff that you're working on right now that I want to like, just get kind of like, I want the cliff notes of everything. Then I want to dive deep at the end. But the last thing that I've got here, the reason this conversation came up in the first place is because you texted me a link with like a very, very small storage facility that was for sale on Facebook Marketplace. And I was like, you just hanging out there? I was like, you just kind of combing around Facebook Marketplace, looking at real estate. And you're like, yeah, man, I get the best deals off there. Like, how can you talk through how you're finding real estate deals on Facebook and like if you have bought any of them?
Yeah, definitely. So really, it's just Facebook Marketplace. It's kind of crazy. Like, I just found a piece of land that we're looking at to build on off of Facebook Marketplace as well. But yeah, I mean, I just have my settings on Facebook Marketplace, you know, kind of on there, and I'll go and I'll just, you know, start looking through land, start looking through houses. And it's really interesting. Some of them are duds. Most of them are duds, but every once in a while you'll find something that's kind of just interesting. And so I didn't buy this one because of Facebook Marketplace, but what I did was somebody. So one of my friends sent me a link to a lady that was basically about to foreclose on her mortgage. And I tweeted about this, so you can find this on my feed. But basically, I just sent her a message, you know, because she was talking about getting foreclosed on and that she owed $21,000 because she took advantage of the COVID relief stuff. And basically she wasn't able to refinance and put it on the back end of her loan, which is what they were, what the banks were trying to get you to do, because she had lost her job during COVID. So now she either needed to pay $21,000 or she was going to be foreclosed on in 3 weeks. So I just messaged her and I said, hey, like, I saw your post, you know, I think I have a solution. You know, can we meet and sit down and talk about this basically? And I can see if there's something I can do to help you out. We ended up meeting basically, and she owed like $199,000 on her mortgage. And you know, I checked all like I kind of did like my own appraisal of the neighborhood, and the neighborhood was like a $400,000 neighborhood. All the houses around it were selling for $400,000. I basically told her like, hey, I'll buy your house and I'll give you a 20-year, you know, lease or whatever. Like basically I, you know, like I won't bother you, right? I'll buy your house. It'll be like you still live there. And then you'll just pay me rent and we'll go from there and I'll buy you out from your mortgage. And she was like, you know what? Like that sounds great. I don't even, you know, she's one of those people that did not care about the actual like asset right. or finance side of it. She just wanted to live in her house forever.
Makes a ton of sense. Out of curiosity, the one thing I've realized from some of the storage facilities that we've been owning is like problem tenants don't become not problem tenants at any point. Like usually like you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they had a rough couple months. Oh, they got sick or like something like that. But like from my experience, if they like are late on payments or don't make payments, they're just bad tenants. I guess you got such a good deal on the property that like, even if something happens, it's okay. But like, is that a concern at all for you? Like her making payments?
No, she's actually been one of my best tenants. I think she was late like 1 month. And she was late by like 10 days and it wasn't a big deal. Right. I think that she's actually been a better tenant because she wants to live in this house forever. And that was kind of part of my evaluation is like, whenever I went to go look at this house, I made sure that like it was clean, it was taken care of and the house was taken care of. She just truly, you know, she just made a mistake. She just thought like, Oh, I can get free rent and I'm kind of struggling. Like, let me get some free rent, not knowing that she was going to have to, you know, pay it back. Right. So I think that
how much is she paying right now?
She pays $1,800 a month.
And you bought, what did you buy the house for?
I bought it for $200,000 and then, well, not cash, but I put a lien against my Charles Schwab portfolio because it wasn't, you know, it's not working for me right now anyway, the market's crap. So I put a lien against the money that I had in there. So I didn't spend any money and the lien was for like 2.35%. So it's like $300 a month, right? And then what I did was after 90 days, I did a cash out refinance on it for up to 75%. And I think I ended up taking like $235 out of it. So I made like $15,000
tax free
buying property. Right. And now,
and you have the rental income.
Exactly. And now she's paying it down and I don't make any like month to month profit on it. We kind of have an arrangement of if something breaks and it's below this dollar amount, you fix it. And if something breaks and it's above this dollar amount, I'll help you fix it. Right. So, you know, and I signed a year lease with her because we knew that a 20-year lease wasn't going to hold up or anything like that. Right. And the truth is that if she does move out, then that property, I can put a little bit of money into it. I can put like, you know, that $15,000 that I took out of it, I could put it into it and it'll easily rent for like $2,200 in the area that it's in. So.
Okay. So this, for anyone listening now, this is finally the end of the list of everything that John's working on now. All right, so just a recap, let's summarize things up here. Superior Attic, you've got Superior Attic, you've got Advising 360, you've got a lead gen company that has no name, but strictly clients and cash flow, and you're finding real estate deals on Facebook where you're literally buying at 50% of the market value from day one, and you're basically getting refis out for more money than you put in from day one. Out of the four of those, there's a lot of questions, a lot of ways you can take this. Out of the four of those, which is your favorite or which are you most bullish on for the next like 5 to 10 years?
So That's a hard one. And I would think it's Superior Attic. And the reason why is because I really, really love building Superior Attic, right? Mm-hmm. I like the culture of it and I like the people that I've brought into it. So by far that's like my biggest focus. That's where I want to put a lot of effort into. And my goal is to get it up to 5 million. And then once I get it up to 5 million, start acquiring so that I can get start acquisition of other small insulation companies so I can get it from like 5 to 10 or 5 to 15. And then just sit there and let it be pretty passive. I can just be a CEO at that point.
Where are you guys at right now in terms of revenue?
Right this second, we are, so we were on track to do 2.3 million this year. And I think we're going to be closer to 2.7.
Not too shabby.
And who, like, how is it? I want to like also give people the context who didn't have the privilege of listening before press record here of like, I think you made a comment saying like right now you take 3 calls a week for that business.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah. Well, three like Zoom calls. I still take sales calls. Like this morning, one of my sales guys called me. He's like, "Hey man, instead of a 5% discount, can I approve a 6% discount? Like, let me look at the job, you know?" So I looked at it real quick. I'm like, "Yeah, you can be 6% on that. Like, no worries." You know, so little things like that. I'm still a sales manager, and I still like fill out some reports, but like, as far as like scheduled calls, I have like 3 scheduled Zoom calls every week.
Damn. How many people are working there right now?
I have 2 project managers, 2 sales guys, and about 20 subcontractor crews that my project managers manage. And then we probably keep about 10 of them pretty exclusive.
So John, now I'm confused because I feel like I had you pretty figured out during our last call where I was like, I know what he's into and I know what he's going to be doing over the next couple of years, where like you had this awesome exit when you were 24. Then you like immediately started basically like it's a different business, but basically the same exact thing in terms of the home service model of like,
yeah.
You know, now you're just doing an installation work. And my thought process was like, cool, he's either going to like build this up and just let it cash flow and then like, you know, start a couple of these and let it ride, or he's going to build it up again and just sell it again. And he's going to do this every 3 to 5 years and just make millions every single time and like be crazy successful. Like that's in my mind, if you asked me like what your strategy or like your playbook was, that would have been my answer. Now that we are 8 months beyond that point, I'm like, the dude is doing home services. He's doing consulting. He's doing lead gen. He's doing real estate. And like, they're all, for what it's worth, they all kind of have a flywheel in and of itself, right? The lead gen stuff can go and help the home service business. The home service business can take cash flow to put into the real estate side. Like they all are somewhat complementary in a strange way. But if I had it, like, I'm just thinking now, like let's fast forward to like the end of 2023. Is it to like build up these 4 businesses and do nothing else? Is it to like try to go and get equity in other home service businesses and consult? Is it like where's your head at with all of this?
Yeah, so I'm really liking the consult. So I'm really liking the consulting. I guess it's to continue to just keep building and building and building until I just don't want to build anymore. You know, so I think that's really what it is. And I don't know when that flame is going to stop. I don't think that it is. I've, you know, ever since I was young, I've always been really motivated and like driven and process oriented person. And I really, really like helping these other small businesses. A 2 or 3 hour phone call from a power washing company, you know, that the father just spoke nothing but Spanish and the son was kind of like the businessman of it. And I just enjoyed doing it, you know, and we never spoke again. I don't even remember their name, but I just remember that conversation. I remember being motivated to do it. I remember, you know, enjoying doing it. So I guess it's just like now I don't do a lot of things that I don't want to do.
It's pretty interesting working with a ton of different contractors now in mostly kind of Texas, but a lot of different cities in Texas, is everything from like trash removal companies to fencing ones. You can quickly figure out who's got some sort of back end like CRM and who actually has an actual process built in versus some dude that's got 1 cell phone and is just trying to manage all of it from there. So it's an interesting, like, don't actually have the experience of looking at those back ends, but you can clearly see who's got their shit together for the most part.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's something that I do whenever I evaluate like a home service company, is I look for, like, the reason why I did insulation was because I knew all my competitors were like just little one man, small, tiny operations that that, you know, my South Lake clients wouldn't trust. You know, like, you don't want this small company that you don't even know if they have, you know, proper insurance, or if it's even valid to be in their home working on it. So that's something I also look for, like, whenever I'm advising, right, is, you know, I want to find those people that have, like, kind of put some processes in play, but they're not quite there, and they just don't quite know how to get, you know, all of those processes into play, and kind of help them, you know, get the processes into play, and then get to the next step, and then, and, you know, try to grow them enough to where they can kind of step out of the day-to-day sweaty startup, and now it's a company that's working for them a little bit.
Out of curiosity, like, have there ever been any thoughts on your side to, like, productize this kind of stuff? And I say that because you see a little, like, grin smile, like definitely, yeah, the little head nod there. Cause, like, my thought is, like, you've got this so down pat where, like, I think you just know it intuitively, like, how to go set up processes, how to train sales guys, like, know how to go and do all of this. Right. And your time is getting more and more valuable with every single week, you know, of the year, as you kind of, like, yeah, learn more and more of this stuff. There's gotta be this opportunity where, like, hey, if they want John's time, you know, they're paying $50,000 for it. And maybe people can't afford that. So maybe you finance it, or it's over, like, an extended period of time, whatever, for, like, the actual, yep, consulting. But, like, then there's gotta be a world where, like, you, I know you've worked with, like, somebody before to, like, kind of get, like, the thoughts out of your head of, like, and, like, distilling down and make content. Like, hire somebody like that, who's really good at the content side of things, and, like, build out some kind of, like, modal course of, like, hey, if you want to go and start a pressure washing business, here are the 5 ways to think about it, and here are the 5 things within each, and then sell that for, like, $2,000. Build up a little community with it. Like, we've had a lot of people on the show do that kind of stuff in the past, whether it's, like, Liam or Johnny or a few of these other guys, and they make good, really good money from it.
Yeah. So I like that idea, but what I've learned after, like, interviewing people to work with, I guess, like, partners, is that not everybody's set up to be a business owner. And I don't want to sell something that people are going to, you know, consistently fail at, basically. I have a really good friend that started a painting company. It was off of Business Painting Pro online. And I mean, it's a huge company now. He does great. I mean, he started it in college. He literally had to drop out because he was making so much money off of it. And it was awesome. But with that, you know, I go on some of these websites, and then I go and follow their Facebook page, and then I see that there's several people, a lot of people that you know, literally hate their life now because they weren't made to be business owners, and somebody just gave them the quick playbook to it, right? What a lot of people don't get is, like, a lot of people are quitting their 40-hour a week job to go work 80 hours as an entrepreneur, you know, or as a business owner, and I hate that, you know, because then they think, like, oh, you know, I'm putting my 40-hour a week job so that I never have to work more than 40 hours again. I can work for myself. And it's like, that's not the case at all. And then they find themselves miserable in 2 or 3 years. But actually what I'm more thinking of is, like, have you heard of, like, business in a box?
Is it, like, kind of a franchise model?
Is it John Matzner?
I don't know who does it, actually. I have no idea who does it. I was just thinking of this idea, and then I was like, you know, kind of like what you were talking about, is, like, building a business, right? And it's all in a box, and basically, you know, you can come to me and say, hey, John, I want to start a insulation company. And then I've already planned out, like, the whole process. You know, I already got the LLC, I already have advertising in play, I already have the people that you're going to use for advertising, I have the whole playbook right here. Your logo's already been picked. Your name of the company's been picked. Everything's picked. All you have to do is sign a piece of paper, and all of a sudden you have a business, right?
I was just gonna say it's interesting because it's like, it's a franchise essentially. Like, you're like, it's a micro franchise where they don't need to go and necessarily, like, pay royalties or pay for, like, the marketing and brand side of it. I brought up John Matzner specifically because I tweeted this out earlier this week, just saying, like, what I think something could be really successful of is, like, a lot of small businesses are terrible at documenting their knowledge, but, like, if you hire a bunch of instructional designers, sell the systems as a service, right? Like, 3 days of Zoom with a founder, 7-day turnaround for, like, X number of SOPs, whatever it is. And they can be video based or text based. Like, it's a good way to kind of, like, organize and document your organization. What you're saying is probably like that, however, with best practices, not the current business owner's practices. And I think John Matzner does something like that on Twitter.
Got it. That's interesting. And I think that business in a box is a real business. I had, like, thought of the name, you know, whenever I was thinking about this idea. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh man, the name's already taken. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, but I pushed the idea to the side because I was like, you know, I don't think that I'm capable yet of interviewing and knowing that somebody's going to be successful in this. Right. And, you know, the overhead to get in would be pretty inexpensive. You're talking like 30 to 50 grand. Right. But, you know, for somebody who's just quitting their job, 30 to 50 grand and then no cash flow for 3 months might be a big deal.
Well, why not go after people that already have the business that might kind of be stuck at maybe, I don't know, sub-$1 million revenue that do want to grow, maybe take the franchising model. Yeah. Hey, I'll train your sales team. I'll give you all the SOPs. You can use all of my stuff. I'll guarantee that you scale to this amount, but now you owe me 5% or 3% of revenue plus a flat fee. Maybe on top to get started. Cause then you already know they're probably already motivated enough to start the business. They might just not have the expertise on how you structure all the operating procedures.
Definitely. And I like that idea. And that's where I was leaning towards with it, is going after businesses that are already, you know, doing something right. And then what I've thought about was like building a team around that. So like, for example, my master business plan, instead of me explaining this every single time, I have somebody, you know, I just have a professional master business plan guy that, you know, you get on a call with, right. And it takes, you know, so like I do all the recruiting maybe at first, and then I pass it off like, hey, this is the first thing you're going to go through. You're going to go through that first. Right. Then you're going to go through my advertising report and, you know, you're going to work with this particular advertising guy that I've partnered with their business or something like that. And they know exactly how to get you set up. And then like, I have a really, really good, sales company that I use. It's so they've trained my sales team actually. And it's called SATA. It's the Sales as a Trade Academy. And man, the guy's awesome. Like, he's taught me how to be a better sales manager. And he's taught my staff how to be sales guys. So like I would just have every, you know, person's sales organization go and work with him. All right. And I would just have all these different divisions. And then like once a quarter or something, you meet with me and I make sure that everything's on track and make sure.
Could you keep more on kind of your pool though? I don't know if it would work, but like, couldn't you just handle all of the advertising, right? Couldn't you handle, if you wanted to, all of the sales calls in-house? Couldn't you handle the accounting and kind of 90% of the back end office and allow them to just have, you know, the team that does, you know, the install for whatever, and then you kind of split, hey, if I'm handling your lead gen, if you're already giving leads, right, you have that kind of down on pat. If I'm handling all of this, you're paying, I don't know, 10-15% of top line. If I'm only giving you the procedures, 5. I would just think that there's probably scale that would benefit you, right? If you just have a whole social media advertising team, it's probably easy to just add in the new zip code, get some new copy and photos, right, and just kind of click go.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. And that's something that I'm trying to wrap my head around that. You know, I'm trying to like really think about what that looks like and, you know, the problems that would come with it and then the upside to it as well. And then also the obligation that would go with that. Cause that's a really interesting idea. That
you keep them all branded as, I want like probably a different route, but you could always keep it branded as Superior Attic.
Absolutely.
As well. And just go, I guess that's more the cliche or classical franchise model though at that point. But
definitely.
I was just gonna say the nice part about what John's doing right now though is that like you theoretically don't have to manage any of that. Like it's just, you kind of can just pass it off. But the upside of what Gio's talking about is like you could probably experience more of the actual profit.
I think more the profit, more the growth, more control over
what
it is. So yeah, depends on what you want to do.
Bingo. And that's what I was going to say is like, I would be able to control things a lot more. I'd be able to say like, hey man, like, you know, you're slacking and I want to make, you know, a lot more money from this branch. Like we're going to turn it up for you, hire another sales guy, you know?
I feel like, okay, I'm just having this thought right now, but like you should go back and I hate listening to my own podcast. I hate the sound of my own voice.
I hated it, man.
But I'm dead serious. You should go listen to episode 42 where you originally came on. Cause I don't know if it's just like the business success that you've had now, or maybe you've just had a lot more of these calls and stuff like that. You are so much more just like confident. I've always been like very impressed with like everything that you've built and done, but like you just are coming across in a way right now compared to like a year ago where like you have your shit together, you know exactly what you're doing, like you're confident in everything. Like, is that, do you think that's just like a product of you just having more business success or more time on the phone, or like what do you attribute that to?
It's a product of knowing more of like what actually happened. You know, I think the first podcast that I went on, like I was just so I didn't know what actually happened at that time. I haven't had like I didn't have time to reflect on it. All of a sudden I went from, you know, like just managing this company that was taking a lot of my time to, you know, being extremely successful, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just I didn't quite know what had happened yet. So mm-hmm. trying to go on air and talk about it was like really difficult.
Yeah.
And then something else that threw me off actually, which I thought about was, I thought that this podcast the first time was going to be in person. And then like an hour before, you're like, yeah, here's the link. And I was like,
oh shit. That
threw me off too, right?
My bad.
No, you're good. Yeah. You're good. I'm not blaming
probably you. Probably no one's on us.
Yeah. But one of the things that I've noticed as well is like when growing up, I grew up with a really, really bad speech impediment. Like people could not understand what I was trying to say. I would stutter on and on and on and on. And sometimes it still comes out whenever I'm trying to talk fast. So what I learned is like I have to put myself in situations that, you know, that I've methodically have like thought out. And I've rehearsed, or I've, you know, thought of like thought about the questions that you're going to ask me and different things like that. I think that I didn't really know what to expect going into it. So it really threw me off, and that it was, yeah. So,
No, it's cool. Like you have you're very articulate right now in terms of knowing exactly what you're doing, why you're doing it. And like everything that I've asked, you've had phenomenal answers for. Do you think, I remember you did something that was pretty unique and cool that I thought I haven't heard of anyone doing before, where you hired somebody to essentially like sit down with you for like an hour and like write down like your thoughts and distill them into like ideas and concepts and all of that kind of stuff. What was the result of that? Like, because I think that's such a cool idea. I would imagine it would also make it much easier to understand your own story and how to tell it and like what it is you're trying to do just from having that kind of intentional time. What was like the outcome of that?
It was incredible. I didn't do exactly what I wanted to do with it. What I wanted to do with it at first was actually create Twitter content off of it. And I didn't do that because I found I found that I was understanding a lot more about like why I do things, why I say things, who I am, you know, and like what I want to do, what makes me happy, what doesn't make me happy. And it was weird because I was almost like counseling myself.
Well, I was gonna say, can you also explain who this person was? Like, was this a therapist? Like, or is this like, yeah. Right. I kind of figured it was like a publisher scribe kind of person.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So I found them on Upwork.
What did you type in?
Sorry. Say again.
What did you type in?
I think I just typed in like Twitter content, you know, writer. And then I had like a description that they would like interview me 1 hour a week. And then, and then put my story together, and then they would create content based off of that. Right.
I'm not gonna do that.
It was really cool actually. And honestly, probably a lot of really, really good content could have came out of it. Yeah. So I would hire them for an hour and I would just talk. I'd be like I would talk about whatever I wanted to talk about that day. I would just like come in and I'd be like, man, the sales guy's sucking and this is happening and blah, blah, blah. I would just like vent almost. Right. Yeah. And then I'd be like, I remember at my last company, you know, this and that. And then, you know, they would just like, they would literally ask me questions. Like I had like a list of questions that I told them to ask me. And like, I told them to do, like I paid them to do more research online on like what are other good questions to ask whenever somebody's venting or whenever somebody's trying to explain something or whatever it is. And it was pretty funny because then I would look back on like the content, like, oh well, this is the reason why I'm like not happy with this person, right? And what I actually learned is that I need to be more direct and authentic towards people, right? So for example, if my sales guy was struggling and and I was dreading putting him on a performance plan, right? I just needed to like go in and tell him like, hey, look, man, like I like have a sit down meeting and just, hey, look, like this is essentially the way that I feel, right? And, you know, I hired you to do this and you promised these results to me whenever you, you know, came on board with me. And, you know, I'm disappointed that I'm not seeing this, you know, and then I'm getting frustrated because you have no follow-ups in the system, you know? So I know that now you're just like you're not being involved. So this is exactly what I need. Like, I'm putting you on a performance plan and this is exactly what I need for you out of the next week. And, you know, if I don't see this, I don't think that that you're going to be able to create or continue in your employment here at Superior Attic.
And you're being super direct about it. Like you're communicating and like, at the very least then, like it's harsh, but at the very least that person can never turn around and be like, they screwed me because like, you know, they didn't tell me what I could have been doing better and I didn't get the feedback. Like, you're very upfront and honest, dude. Yeah. That's awesome. I also think that like, for anyone out there right now, like screw therapy, like so expensive. And instead you can just go and hire one of these like you don't even get any content from therapy is the worst part. Like this you're leaving with all the benefits of therapy and you're getting content out of it and learnings. So I think that's the way to go in the future.
That should be a mural behind your bed, Connor. You don't get any content out of therapy.
You don't, man. Like if therapists could make content, they would be life changing.
Right. That's true.
Instead they just fix small problems. Just kidding. No, I'll just.
Yeah, that's funny. I think therapists could actually really help get you past a lot of different milestones or like things that you don't quite understand. But
I know. No, I'm just
scrolling. I think
I know.
I think what you had though is kind of almost a different interpretation of like journaling, right? Like it might be kind of like how you could journal if you didn't actually want to write it physically down, where it's kind of, okay, let's chat about whatever it is that you would typically journal and reflect on that. And then you can kind of go over and review it. I mean, it's an interesting, I think you're the first person we've probably talked to that's done anything to that extent, where we've interviewed plenty of people that kind of do the journaling and meditation route.
Yeah.
But
that's hilarious.
It's cool.
And you don't know what, it doesn't even have to be somebody that's like, that's like an expert in anything. Mine was a college girl. And she like I would literally just call her, hey, are you ready to talk? You know,
she's probably going out that weekend like, you guys won't believe this guy.
Yeah, I bet. Cause I would probably say I would say some funny crap too. Like I would, you know, call people names or whatever, you know, whatever.
That's funny. That's amazing, man. Cool. Well, hey, John, listen, I kind of wish we sat down and let this record for 2 hours because I feel like I do want to dive more into the businesses. But one thing I was just talking with Gio about yesterday is that I think I want to get into more of a habit of bringing back on past guests that we've had who are like, just lead for more interesting conversations. So we've had enough podcasts that we've done at this point where like, we'll go on, record it for an hour and Gio and I will text afterwards and be like, ah, shit, we probably can't go and publish that. Like it just wasn't interesting enough from an entertainment standpoint. But every time I've had on you, I've loved it. And I would love to kind of have you back on maybe in the beginning of next year to kind of learn a little bit more about like how some of the advising stuff has gone, if you've decided to productize it and like where you're at in terms of like where you're going. Cause I feel like I didn't realize how long of a gap it's been since that last episode, but like you're doing some really cool shit. So I want to definitely keep after it.
Yeah, man, let's do it. I'm super excited.
If people want to go and check out some of the advising stuff you're working on, sounds like you got a lot of people reaching out after that last episode. If people want to go and check it out now in a more formalized, probably paid way, where can they go and check you out?
Twitter still, just at Jonathan M. Rivera.
And they awesome, can just
reach out to me directly. Love it.
Yeah.
Cool. We will link that all below.
Cool. Thanks for coming on, Jonathan.
Thank y'all.
All right. See you, bud.